Thank you for tuning into Fire Shut Up My Bones. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and let's read from verse number 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And if he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king of Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I have given thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been so too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall not depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and thou hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine house, and I will take thy wives before thine house, thy eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and was very sick. All right, we'll stop there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us today as we read from your actual word. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this, just to backtrack so you can get an understanding as to what happened here, is in 2 Samuel chapter 11, David took another man's wife. He took Uriah's wife. Now, what I like about our God, Uriah was a Hittite. He wasn't a Jew. What does that tell you? God is not a respecter of persons. And when God sees unjust behavior towards another person, regardless of his ethnicity, God gets upset. God is not going to look at Uriah and say, oh, he's not an Israelite, he's just some Hittite. David can do what he wants with him. No, God's justice extends to every people group on the face of the world. God is a just God. So through his scheme, David basically took another man's wife, Bathsheba. He had sex with her and got her pregnant, and he tried to cover it up. So he pushed Uriah out into battle and told Joab, when the battle gets too hot, leave him there stranded so he can get killed. That way, when people look at it, they'll think that Uriah just died in battle. But this was intentional. Now, look with me in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and let's read 25. So Bathsheba got news that her husband died in battle. So look at 25. Then David said unto the messenger, now shalt say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make that battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou them. Now look at this. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, and this is because of what David did, David basically murdered Uriah, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. Now look at this now. But the thing that David did, that David had done, displeased the Lord. This was literally, when it says displeased the Lord like that, it's literally talking about this was evil in God's sight. God is angry. Now, let's look into the pages of scripture and see how God deals with this problem that his servant David did. David is the king of Israel. He has prestige. With a snap of a finger, he can have someone killed. You know, he probably could have had Nathan the prophet killed if he was arrogant. And it says, and the Lord sent Nathan. Now, I want you to look at that. Nathan is a messenger of the Lord. He is a prophet. Just imagine him being a preacher. Guess what? That's what he's doing. A preacher is a herald to the king and repeats exactly what a king says. So Nathan is the preacher. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Okay. And what Nathan does here, and this is this is point number one. He gives a description. You say, what does that mean? Well, when you're looking for a bad guy, you have descriptions. A man that has committed a crime and that is being pursued by police will give a description. For example, all right, this suspect is 6'3", black. He has a dreadlocks, extremely muscular. And he committed this crime. Have you seen him? And he was wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt. That's a description. And when they see a man that matches that description, they'll say, you know what? This guy might be him. All right. So that's what happens here. Point number one, David matched the description. In verses 1 and 6, it says, and the Lord said unto Nathan, and he came unto him and said unto him, there are two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The one rich is David. The other poor is the Hittite Uriah. A rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. That represents all the women that he had. I think he had about 8 wives. But the poor man had nothing. And yeah, David was rich. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. He had one wife, which he had bought up and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. And he did eat of his meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. You know, I'm pretty sure Uriah the Hittite was very gentle with his wife. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock. He didn't want to take anything from his own household, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb, and he dressed it for the man that was come to him. All right. So that's the guy. That stranger is the guy that took from the poor man, if you will. Okay. All right. And gave it to the king. King David. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth. Oh, let me keep reading. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. All right. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said, Nathan, as the Lord liveth. And said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Now, what does that description remind you of? Here we have David, who's rich and has a lot of goods, has a lot of wealth, took something from someone, or took a person from someone who he didn't have that much. He took something from Uriah, who was a soldier, who wasn't rich. Right? So that's the description here. It's describing the sin that David committed. All right? I'm pretty sure David knew, this is my opinion, that Nathan knew, but he's trying to cover it up still. Okay, that's what we do when we hear preaching. The preacher gets up there and describes a sin, and we act like it's not us. Okay, and then Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Let me stop right there. You see, guys, in churches today, when we go to church, we hear preaching. And the preacher will be describing our sin. Now, that doesn't mean he knows about our sin, but we act like he knows that we committed that sin, and we get offended. We get mad. We'll say, you know what? That preacher's calling me out. And what do? We get mad at the preacher. Yeah, you have a youth pastor out there, and the youth pastor gets up there and he says, some of you guys are listening to the wrong type of music. And what do they do? These young people do? They get mad at the preacher. He's singling me out. How dare he call me out? The preacher gets up there on the pulpit and he says, some of you in here are looking at pornography. Now, mind you, listen to me very carefully. This preacher didn't say, called out someone's name and say, Jeffrey, you're looking at porn. Tom, you're looking at porn. Mr. Tut, you're looking at porn. He, that pastor didn't say it like that. Okay? And that doesn't mean the guys that I mentioned, by the way, those are my friends. They're definitely not doing that. That doesn't mean he knows exactly what they're doing, but the Holy Spirit led him to say, hey, some of you are looking at porn. Now, let me go back to my point. He did not say, Kevin, you're looking at porn at home and you're listening to the wrong type of music. He doesn't do that. He preaches in season and out of season, and God leads him to say, call out that sin. That person's looking, one of these guys in are looking at porn. Man, I've seen the Holy Ghost work like that. There was a preacher, young preacher. He says, guys, I don't know why I have to repeat this or why God wants me to repeat this, but it could be that someone in this room right now is addicted to pornography. Okay? Now, is he trying to impress people? No. This man was greatly convicted to preach exactly what God wanted him to preach against the sin of pornography. And there could have been someone in there that was very much looking at that stuff. Let me tell you something. Let me read this from my notes by way of introduction. I've had those that preach call me out, but didn't know it was me. All right? But I knew God was calling me out. Guys, sometimes they'll be under preaching and the preacher will get on that pulpit and say, hey, some of you guys are guilty of such and such, such and such. And it just strikes me. I'm like, whoa, this guy is not with me 24/7, but he's describing exactly what I'm doing. That always amazed me that God is calling me, Darian, out because he's concerned with me. Throughout Psalms chapter 8, 4 through 6, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You see, God calls you out because he loves you. He wants you to get right. That's why God chastises you to get you right. But he wants to do the Nathan approach. He wants to send a man like Nathan to preach against your sins. Why? So you can repent and agree with it and get right. So regardless if we're a pastor, a king like David, or a big shot, regardless, if our sin gets called out, then it's us. We're wrong, no matter who we are. That's what I want to address, because I'm seeing it too many times where we can be indirectly calling out a sin, and then you get that phone call. Hey, are you talking about me? And your name wasn't mentioned. How dare you? And you happen to think like, hey, if you're doing wrong, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Lord. Or at least say, you know what? God is right. I need to get right. Because God sends men, godly men, to rebuke sin with the scripture. Okay? What I want to preach about today, here's the title. God called us out. God called us out. I should have said, God called you out. What are you going to do about it? But God calls us out. Guys, God calls us out through the scriptures, through the Bible. A man gets on that pulpit and opens up the word of God and he said, hey, thou art the man. What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Am I going to get mad? Am I going to give Brother Tom a phone call and say, hey, you were talking about me on the podcast? Or Tut, you were talking about me in church. Mr. Tut, you were talking about me in church. You were calling me out. You somehow spied on me when I was being mean to my wife and talking bad about her. You guys were up there preaching, love your wives, be not bitter against her. And somehow you knew it was me, so you decided to call me out. And Tut and Tom didn't call me out. They didn't say, hey, Darian, you were mean to your wife Monday night or something like that, right? No, they didn't do that. You see, what happened was they were operating under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And God told them to preach that. And my reaction should be, that's me. The description, David matched the description. So how about it, Christian? Is the preacher biblically describing your sin? What are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? I'm being direct today. What am I doing about it when I hear my sins being described from the word of God? So now we see that David matched the description. David's sin was called out. So we got verse number 7 of 2 Samuel 12. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. That means, hey, that's you. When I hear my sins being called from the pulpit, oh man, that's me. Oh man, that's me. So his sin was called out. And that's what people get mad at today. You know, you get these phone calls. How dare you talk about me? But I'm like, Is it wrong or is it right? Is it wrong or is it right? My goodness, let me tell you, there's times when I had to admit that I'm wrong. I'm like, hey, man, you're right. And ask God to forgive me. And it made me feel so good because I gave my burden to the Lord. Like, you know what, God, please forgive me. And God, help me with that. Why is it any different for anyone else? Okay. You know what I'm seeing today in 2023? Not only can these young teenagers, these young people can't take preaching, but now I'm seeing that preachers can't take preaching. Preachers can't take preaching. Missionaries can't take preaching. Church workers can't take preaching. They all get offended. And they say, you're calling me out. Man, let me tell you something. That's rare now. I thank God. And, you know, let me just brag a little bit. You know, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. So I'm going to praise a certain person. I thank God for humble friends like and humble parents, humble wife. Humble friends like Tom and Tut and Pastor Patrick Creed Jr. I've seen that man. He's 65 years old. I've seen that man operate in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. I want to be like that. I don't want to be like some of these preachers out there or some of these church workers or these other Christians that When their sin is called out by God, they get mad at the messenger. Regardless of who that messenger is, I don't care if that messenger is up there. He's only 20 years old, preaching what God gave him. If he calls your sin out and it's you, get it right. Get it right. I should get it right. You should get it right. Why? Because he's preaching from a book called the Word of God. Okay? And that's what I've been seeing. That's why God led me to preach this message. My soul. People are getting so upset that their sin is getting called out by somebody who's never been to Bible college, who's then considered a full-time pastor. But through scripture, their sin is called out and they get upset. God called you out. Okay, so David mastered description. David's sin was called out. Verse 7, David repents. Repenting, he changed his mind towards his sin. He agreed that he is guilty of that sin. Guys, how many times have we heard our sin being preached against on the pulpit? How many times have we said, you know what? That's me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I need to get right. And when they give the invitation, we get up there and say, God, Tom was talking about me. Mr. Tut was talking about me. Pastor Creed was talking about me. Please forgive me. Thank you for loving me enough to call me out. That's how we should react to it. David's reaction was to agree and acknowledge his sin. Turn with me to Psalm 51 and look at David's reaction. This is going to be a short sermon. By the way, man, I was talking about this with my wife on the phone. I was texting Mr. Tut about this. There's a lot we could say about this. So I'm barely touching the surface. But one of the questions I was asking Mr. Tut and my wife, Why do you guys think that people get upset when their sins are being called out? Some of it has to do with their heart is hard. They have a hard heart. Pride is the root cause of it. Pride. You know, through pride cometh contention. My wife said a lot of them feel guilty and are ashamed. I mean, if you feel guilty and ashamed, did you realize that God wants to help you with that and get your guilt and shame away? All you have to do is confess your sins before the Lord and God will make it better. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly through mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. I'm going to read a verse that Mr. Tut texted me too. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in my sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Look at verse 4 and 3 and 4. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before thee, before me. He acknowledges sin. That means he said, I am that man. Nathan, you're right. You said, thou art the man. I am that man. Verse 4, against thee only have I sinned. Hey, when we mess up, we sin against God, not just the person we wronged. How many times have we been confronted and we said, man, I acknowledge my sin. That's me. That's me. I'm sorry. That is me. God, forgive me. All right. But how many times have we gotten mad at the messenger? Nathan, how dare you call me out? Why are you knocking me for? Well, you know, behold, I was shaping iniquity and sin that my mother conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That's what God does when we acknowledge our sin. He cleanses us. He washes us. God forgives us. Boy's broken my joy. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Like, God, forgive me. Here's verse 10 that Mr. Tut texts me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit within me. Is that the verse you sent me? Let me look. Yeah, 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right heart within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Now look at this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Hey, God will restore you. Of course you don't like to, man, it's 21 minutes already. Of course you don't like to feel bad that your toes are being stepped on and you're being called out. So get it right. Confess it to the Lord. And guess what? The Lord will forgive you. Here's our last verse. First John chapter 1:9, or one of our last verses. Let me see if I can turn it real quick. First John chapter 1, verse 9. There we go. And then 1:9. Here's what David did. Nathan called out his sin. So we have David matched the description of the sin. David's sin was called out. David repents. Okay. Now look at his reaction. Okay. Before I read 1 John 1:9, and David said unto Nathan, in verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Dude, God was about to kill David. Okay? So he acknowledged his sin. Guys, you and I can do the same thing when we mess up. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. All right. So if you confess your sins, that means you're agreeing that you did wrong. You're agreeing with God that he did wrong. You say, wait, agreeing with God? I thought I was agreeing with the pastor. No, you're not. Look at 2 Samuel 12 again. And look at verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, all right, he gave the word. He gave the word. He gave God's word. Guys, when that pastor's up there preaching against your sin, God is doing it. Why? Because that pastor's reading the Bible. He's preaching from the Bible. He's repeating exactly what God told him to do. So God forgave David. God forgave David. So God, it says, you should not die. God has put away your sin. Hey, do you want God to put away your sin? You know God will forgive you if if you and I admit that we're wrong. If we feel guilty and ashamed, just realize that God wants to forgive you. There's no need to get mad. And that's what I've been seeing today. Will you and I humble ourselves and do what David did, which is to admit that we're wrong? What's up with all this stuff getting mad at the messenger? Hey, God called you out. So what are you and I gonna do about it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to learn from these truths, Lord. You know, when you call us out, it's so you can make us better, so you can teach us, so you can correct us. Help us to identify that. Help us not to be too proud. Forgive us if we're like that. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.